Thank you that you've loved us with an everlasting love. We ask that you would speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' mighty name, we all agreed together and said, amen. Amen. How many of you remember that commercial years ago? It was a father and his son, and the father's out mowing the lawn, and the son's kind of imitating everything he's doing. And as the commercial goes on, you know, as the dad's trimming the hedges, the son is pretending like he's trimming the hedges. And as the father's mowing the lawn, he's following along. And it keeps going and it keeps going. And finally, it's like the end of the day, and the father sits down under a shade tree with his son. And then the father breaks open a box of cigarettes, opens up the cigarette, lights it up. And then all of a sudden it shows the kid fooling around with the box of cigarettes and kind of looking at his father. And then it says, like father, like son. Do you remember that commercial? How many remember that? All four of you. Well, sorry for you that were not raised in my generation, but that was definitely a commercial, and believe me, it was. See, I have a testimony here. I'm not going to use that story next service, as you know. But it illustrated a point that like father, like son. And what Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is now going to reflect to us is that we're to be an imitator of our Heavenly Father, because God has called us to imitate Him and what He has done for us. And now that we've seen all that God has done for us, as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we've seen our position in Christ, that we have a heavenly calling in God, now he gets down to the practical application of our daily lives. And we're going to learn how to walk. Now, Jeremy just gave a great illustration how his parents taught him how to walk. And really, God wants to teach us how to walk in this newness of life in which we have received. You have received a new life. You are no longer what you used to be. Old things have been passed away. You're a new creation in Christ. And so, as the Spirit of God gives utterance to the Word of God here, we're going to learn how to walk this morning. And really, there's three ways in which we walk. First of all, number one, we walk in love. Secondly, we walk in the light. And thirdly, we walk in logic. And we're going to explain this, of course, as we go on. But let's pick it up in chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God just as dear children. Now, anytime there's a therefore in the scripture, you must see why it's therefore. Okay? Listen very carefully. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named once among you as it's fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person or one who is covetous or one who is worshiping idols has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty, futile words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons and daughters of disobedience. Now, of course, this is a very powerful, directed scripture that definitely needs to be preached in the church today. I believe that we are in a very tragic era of church history. And in fact, I believe we're in the very last of last days. As we look at our world today, how quickly it is perishing, and how many people have been radically sucked into the immorality that's in our system. Believers. And this message really is for those who have been born again. He's talking about the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not been born again here this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive God's love and His forgiveness. But this is almost like coming home into somebody's house and watching their father give them a lecture. Now, I'm not the father here. God is the father. And we're listening to what God has to say in His Word. And this is the lecture for us. Now, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And the word Christian means Christ-like or little Christ or followers of the same things that Jesus did. In other words, when they saw these disciples, they said, you know, they're like little Jesuses walking around. They have the same type of fruit and love and compassion for the lost, and they're constantly doing things that other people just don't have time for. And so, as they became Christians, or we're called Christians here, in verse 1, this word imitator means mimics. And it says, as children of God, we should mimic or imitate our Father. Now, how do we imitate God? What do we mimic about our Heavenly Father? Because we're to be like father, like son, like father, like daughter, right? And so as we look at this, we see that God is love and we should walk in love. Love isn't something that God does. Love is what God is. God is love, the scripture tells us. Amen. And in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And how did Jesus love his disciples? Of course, he washed the disciples' feet. He served them. He loved them and he laid his life down for them. And that's how we're to love one another. And love is fair in God's love. Now, oftentimes we have preconceived notions of what love is and what fairness is and what fairness isn't. But love gives and never expects back. And so we must understand God's love. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, that he laid his life down for us. And we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now, this is the verse I give, of course, to young couples when they ask me about French kissing. Do not love in tongue. There's the answer right there. Just kidding, of course. And it's a poor example. Don't ever use that one. And you didn't get it from me. All right? But we're to love in deed and in truth. And what he means by love not in tongue, that basically means just don't be talking about love, but be doing love. We're to be doing the action of love. And we love not expecting to receive. And here we see that Christ was offered up as a sweet-smelling offering, bringing joy to the heart of God as he gave himself for the sins of the world, for your sin and for my sin, as Christ hung and bled there on that cross and rose from the dead. But this love that is spoken of here in the Holy Scripture, understand, it implies that we're also to hate certain things. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference one to another. Not lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So the scripture speaks that in love there is hate. Did you know that? Because in perfect love, cast out fear, the Bible says. So if there's fear in your love, you don't have real love. You're holding on to temporary love or a preconceived notion of what you think love is. And then also we understand it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil." It's not whatever feels good, do it, baby. That's not the description of God's love. And in fact, I've said this many times before, but let's just say Nick and Laura are engaged. And Nick says, "Laura, you know, I really love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But of course, you know, Trixie and Stacy, you know, we're really close. And I kind of want to hang out with them also." Would you go for that? Absolutely not. Of course not. Because that's not real love. Real love is a commitment. And it's not a feeling. It's saying that I'm going to stand by you for the rest of my life. I'm going to guard you and I'm going to govern you and I'm going to protect you with all that God has given me. In verse 3 it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as you become saints." So what is this saying? Let it not be once named among you. Now this word fornication comes from the word porneia, where we get our word, of course, pornography. And I want us to understand, it also refers to sex outside of marriage. In the constitution of marriage, the Bible says the bed is undefiled in marriage. But the Bible also says, "But adulterers and fornicators, God will judge." Now, Paul just said that I didn't come to you. This isn't flaky words I'm speaking of here. As you're becoming saints of God, and you are saints, and God calls you saints, it should not be named once among you. And it says that there are sins. These sins are not even to be named among us, not even one time, as we're believers. You know, I believe in the next couple of years, you're going to see a radical, even more than you've ever seen, a radical degrading of women and mistreating of women, and men that claim to be godly are going to leave their godliness. The Bible says in the last days that many shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And this whole thing with this internet, I'm telling you right now, guys, if you're messing around with that internet, you need to cut off the cable, because it's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your family. And these people, did you know the United States is the number one distributor of pornography in the whole world? And this is the land of the free. This is the so-called Christian country. It's not a Christian country, by the way. The only thing that makes a person, only people can be believers. It's just a country. It's a hunk of land that we're living on. And people always say, well, it's the Christian country. Well, it doesn't seem real Christ-like to me, being the number one distributor of pornography in the world and everything else that goes on this planet. But let's understand something about what God is speaking here. Sexual immorality. It's not even to be named once among us, the Scripture says. Now, the world, understand, the world wants to sway you from what God has for you. And what Paul is saying, you're no longer a part of this world system. God has called you out. And the word suggests this deframing pureness of the heart. And really, many of the words today that want to ruin the pureness of a woman or a man or a relationship that we're to have one with another. In verse 4, it speaks of filthy talk here. And he begins to lay down this practicality of our walk in Christ and how we're to be more Christ-like. And he mentions in verse 4 this filthy talk. And this isn't objecting humor. There's nothing wrong with humor. My goodness, look at all of us. I think God has a sense of humor when you look at all of us here today. All of us have weirdnesses, don't we? We all have different little idiosyncrasies about ourselves. And a good friend of mine, Greg Laurie, is a cartoonist. And he'll always see people and he'll draw them in a cartoon form. And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't just see us all like that, you know. It's just kind of funny. And he draws one of me and he always has a piece of wheat coming out because I'm from Rialto. And he makes my teeth kind of bucked and he makes my freckles bigger than they are. And it's especially when I had this big afro years ago and he put me in suspenders. It was really funny. You had to see it. I don't know why I'm talking about that. It's kind of early in the morning. Anyway, but this refers to the spread of questionable stories about a brother or sister that really isn't true. It also speaks of this jesting. Of course, jesting is impure talk. You know, taking something that's innocent and pure and defaming it and making it look and turning it into something filthy. And this is really a popular way of the way the world has fun today. And you know, it was Red Skelton, who I really enjoyed as a young person watching on television. His humor was always clean. And he said, it takes an intelligent person to do jokes without, you know, having sexual innuendos in it. And so what God is saying to us right here is that we're not to have this impure talk among us. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says our speech should always be seasoned with salt. And I've heard people say, well, take this as a grain of salt, but let me tell you something. No, you're supposed to be seasoned with salt, not taking it as a grain of salt. Our speech should be seasoned with salt, the Scripture tells us here. And there are false teachers today that would say that you can be a believer or a Christian and live in habitual, deliberate sin. It's lying truth. In other words, they're not telling the truth. It's truth with a lie. And many churches today are preaching that it's okay to live in a certain lifestyle and go to heaven. And it's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. You're of a new citizenship. You're of the kingdom of heaven, the Scripture tells us. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, assuredly I say unto you, whoever commits sin or practices sin is a slave to that sin. And understand today, these teachers that Paul called them have empty, vain words. And you know, as I drive around and I see different churches, I know what a lot of them teach. And most of them around here do not teach the Bible, unfortunately. And it's to their own shame. And God will judge it, and don't you think He won't. This is not a moose lodge, my friend. This is the Holy Church of God. And as we gather together, this is the saints of God coming to worship God in spirit and in truth. And if the Bible is not being taught, it's a deceitful act. And it's not what God has intended for His people. God has His holy church, and that's what God wants us to do, is to preach His word. Why? Because sin ultimately destroys us. It brings us into its power and to its bondage. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is in full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. You know, I saw a bumper sticker a while back that said, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." Well, unfortunately, that's the truth about all of us. You know, but really that's not what the Lord taught us to pray. He said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because those things that you're tempted with, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, and those things that are outside of God's plan, will ultimately destroy you. They'll bring you into their bondage. It's a trap, and it is impossible to get out of outside of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we need deliverance today in a worst way. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, I'm going to step on some toes here this morning. I've kind of been known for that. But I want you to know something. It's only for your good. It's only for my good. When I'm preaching, I'm not preaching to a choir. I'm preaching to the saints of God, and I'm preaching to myself here. And we need to take heed what is written in the Word of God, lest we become ineffective in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest we become ineffective in what God has called us to do. Because God is desiring to rain His glory down. God is desiring to bring revival and awakening, but we hinder it because judgment comes at the house of God first. And He says this is not to be even named once among us. Now look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says that the works of the flesh are evident. Here's the evidence, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idol worship, sorcery, hatred. Now listen, hatred's in there also. Contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, partying, and the like. And I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Say that with me. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice these things. Now, if you look over, and before you hang up the phone, listen very carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or idol worshippers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, or covetousness, nor drunkards, nor partiers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you have been washed, and you've been sanctified, and you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now listen, we have been delivered from these things that have been mentioned here. And if you've been delivered, God have mercy to ever return back into that hellhole you came out of. And if you're getting delivered right now, or you haven't been delivered yet, I'm telling you right now, I'm not here pointing the finger saying, "You're an adulterer, you're a homosexual, you're a fornicator, you're a liar, you're a covetous person, you're an idol worshiper." I'm saying, listen, God has such a far greater plan for your life. God is able to deliver us from the uttermost to the guttermost. It doesn't matter what our sin is. Jesus came to die for sinners. Paul said, "Whom I'm chief." Understand something. We're not saying we're better than anybody. We're saying that we're better off because we've been forgiven by God's love and His mercy. And this morning you can be forgiven by God's love and His mercy and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And know when you take your last breath on this planet, you can take your first breath into eternity and spend eternity in heaven with all of God's people. You see, sin brings you into bondage. And oftentimes we get so blinded by our sin, we can't see straight, literally. It's like when you're sleeping. Remember when your mom came in to wake you up for school when you were a kid? Turn on the lights, open up the drapes, time to get up, ah! You know, you're like a vampire when the sun's coming up, you know? Cover up really fast. Because you've been exposed. And oftentimes when you hear verses like this, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, you know, and automatically get on the defense. What are you, phobic? Are you prejudiced? Are you, well, I want to commit adultery. It's fun. I know my wife doesn't like it, but it's fun. See, it's a sin against love, my friend. It will ultimately destroy you. It will destroy your soul. You see, we were once children of disobedience, and that's the way I used to be. But now I'm a new creation in Christ. And as dear children of God, we ought to walk in love, He says. And real love does not sin against itself. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, And you, who he made alive, who were once dead in trespasses of sin, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by children, by nature, children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, God knows you. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He's rich in mercy, ready to forgive, willing to pardon. That's the God we serve. For God so loved the world. Now, the world that he loved was a world that was going, oh, we bless you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Come on in, Jesus. You know, no, it wasn't that at all. It was a world in downright rebellion, and it still is. But God still loves the world and loves all the people in the world. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance and recognize his awesome forgiveness. Amen? Amen. And says here that that's what we were once at one time. But understand something. Listen very carefully. We were dead in trespasses of sin, but God raised us up together and made us sit together. He didn't ask us to sit together. He made us. You just sit right down at this heavenly table and I'm going to bless you. Yeah. Now listen. He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. That was the reputation of Jesus. And what was the reputation of Jesus? What was Jesus' reputation when he was on this planet? He was called the friend of sinners. Can you be called that? Do you know some sinners? How many non-believing Christian friends do you... I mean, non-believers friends do you have? I have a lot of them. And I love them. And I reach out to them. And my desire is to see them know the Lord like I know him. And, you know, they're great people. We're all sinners here today, church. Saved by grace. This is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, as I say over and over and over again. But Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why? Because he was compassionate. He was loving. He reached out to the hurting. In fact, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He quoted Isaiah 61. He says, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time that God will accept you right now. Today is the day of salvation. And if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness of sin, the scripture tells us in Hebrews. But Christ came to save sinners, us. Now, if this offends you, well, so be it. Get over it. But I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account before God, and I'm not going to see you pointing your finger at me as you're on your way to hell and saying, you didn't tell me! No way, man. I'm telling you the truth right now because I want to be, my conscience needs to be clear before God. Now, I don't really care what you think of me. You know, when it comes down to it, I care what God thinks about you and I care what you think about him. But for me, I'm just a delivery boy here. I'm just not, you know, God called me to deliver a message here. And if you hate me for this message, well, take it up with my creator. But I'm just quoting what he says in his word. Amen. And so listen to what God is saying. I want to see you know the truth of God's word. You know, I say it in love. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. So how do I walk? I'm to walk like Jesus walked. I'm to be walking like he walked in love. And having that love. And love is compassionate. And it's merciful. It's forgiving. And we've gone over this and over this. And if you haven't, if this is your first time here, grab the tapes. We'll give them to you on the way out. And you'll get the message that Paul was relating to this Gentile church. How they're to walk in this godliness. So they're to walk as Jesus. And secondly, we're to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Verses 7 through 14. He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out, what is my mission now? Finding out what is the acceptable will of God. And then he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed are made manifest by light, and whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know who he was speaking to right here? Sleepy people that were believers. We need to rise up out of our sleep. You know, I got to hand it to you, first service people, because you're up early. You weren't out late partying last night. You got to bed at a reasonable hour, and I think most of you did, by 11 or 12 or maybe 1 in the morning. And then you, I'm just kidding, of course, but you're here for service and you want to hear the Word of God. Now, when I see somebody nodding off when I'm preaching, I like to embarrass them, but I don't do that as much as I used to. But oftentimes I'll hit my foot when I'm preaching because I'm trying to get their attention and wake them up. And a lot of you guys are going, what? I'm listening. Hey, you know. But he says, awake you that asleep. Now, when he speaks in verse 7, this word partakers, he says, don't be partakers with the things of this world because you are in partnership with Almighty God. Now, I want you to think about this morning. Grab a hold of this truth. You are in a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are you partakers of? You know this word partake is used 6 times in the New Testament. And it tells us that we as believers in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that we're partakers of His divine nature. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, it says we're partakers of all the promises of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, it says we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. It says you partake of Christ's sufferings when His glory is revealed. You may be glad and rejoice with exceeding joy. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, it says we're partakers of His holiness. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says we're partakers of a heavenly call. And in 1 Peter 5, 1, you're partakers of God's glory. You are in partnership now. You've been blood bought. You are of the inheritance. You're grafted in. You're no longer of the rest of the goyim of this world. You are now a Jew by a new birth, the scripture says. And the word Jew means praise, or Judah comes from the word praise. You've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. And so you recognize and realize your position in Christ and all the awesome things that God has done for you. And since we have this wonderful partnership with God, how could we ever become partners with that which belongs to sin and darkness? That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. For what fellowship, it says, what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what communion does light have with darkness? Now, if the lights are out in this room and all the doors are shut and it's black, pitch black in here, and I turn on a flashlight, the light exposes the darkness. The darkness flees. You can't cover light with darkness. It won't work because light exposes. It exposes the darkness. Now, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked. If you're a believer here this morning, which most of you are, you have no business, if you're single, dating a non-believer. Did you know that? This is what the Bible says. The scripture says it very clearly. Do not be unequally yoked. Well, you know, it's kind of like, I'm like a missionary, you know, a missionary dating. No, I'm sorry. Because you've displayed by your behavior that God's word is not to be believed or trusted. Oh, but he's such a nice guy. He's not a believer. Oh, but she's such a great looking, she's so fine, man. You just can't get those kind of chicks in the church, bro. Listen to me. Beauty is deceitful and favor is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And good cooking don't last, good cooking do. You just remember that. Did I say good looking don't last? Yeah, I did. Okay. Just kidding, of course. A little saying my friend used to say. But understand about be not unequally yoked. Now listen, if you're a believer, who's your heavenly Father? Come on. God is your heavenly Father, right? Now, a non-believer, who's their father? Jesus said in John 8:44, you are your father the devil, the lust of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now Jesus was talking to those non-believer religious people that were accusing him. He said, you have your father the devil. Now, if you're a believer and your father is God, and you marry a non-believer, who's your father-in-law? Hello? I want you to think about what you're getting yourself into. If you're a believer this morning, you have no business dating a non-believer. pray for them, invite them to church, that's great. But they need to get their act together with Christ first. Because they'll never be able to support you spiritually if they're not a believer. Now, we are children of the light, and we ought to walk in the light. Now, darkness produces sin and lies, as Scripture says, but the fruit of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And light cannot compromise with darkness. It can only expose them. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Now, remember, right after Jesus quoted the most popular verse in the world, which he said himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went on to say, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light because their deeds would be exposed. But whoever does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. Now, what is it about darkness? You know, why do the clubs do so well at night? Why? It's dark. You know, everybody looks 10 years younger because the lights are dim. Right? And they have the pretty color lights, the reds and the blues, you know, and kind of brings out the colors and the lipstick, and they put the glitter on their faces now, and it just kind of, you know, what am I looking at? You know? And you can't really see what you're looking at. Unfortunately, well, never mind. But, you know, it's amazing to me. And they all are just, but, you know, they're not out partying during the day. You don't see them there on 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, with the light of the sun out, you know, they're all going, hey, you know, don't look at me right now. Look, you see my wrinkles and all that stuff. You know, it's amazing to me. But somehow we think we're covered when we're in darkness. But, you know, God says day and night make no difference to him. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding good and evil. You can't run from God. Well, I'm going to shut the door and nobody will see me. God's watching you. Light exposes things. So we're to walk in love and we're to walk in light. Because he is the light of the world. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And it will glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're to be doing good works to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Not glorifying ourselves, but glorifying him. And then third and last, what is our natural response to this walking in love and walking in light? It's to walk in logic. Walk in logic, verses 15 through 17. He closes with this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as an idiot, but wise. This word fool means idiotic. Not as fools. I like it better as idiot. Not as an idiot or a dork brain, but as wise. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Now, this in the Greek means do not intoxicate yourself, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this, church. This is a great close because he uses this word circumspectly. And it carries the idea of walking around carefully not to trip. It means don't walk like that. It means when you walk, it means look where you're walking. I was just joking. I didn't really trip over that. I was kidding. I was going, you know. In other words, walk circumspectly. Walk. It's kind of a Chevy Chase thing. Sorry. It means walk the way you're to walk with your eyes wide open. It means walking in with intelligence and not ignorance. Know who you are. Know what your position is in Christ. That you're saved. That you're a saint. That God sees you holy and pure. You see, you have a heavenly calling. God told us in Isaiah 51, verse 16. He says, I put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens. You see, God has given you a heavenly calling to seed and plant the heavens. God wants heaven populated. And how does heaven get populated? If I walk in love and I walk in the light, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to preach the gospel to every person I know. There's no discrimination in preaching the gospel. The message of the cross is to every person on this planet. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you think you are. God knows who you are. And the message of the gospel is for you today. And it's the most relevant message on this planet today. And some people say the gospel is not relevant. But I tell you, the most relevant message for the world today is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that God still loves the sinner. And God's willing to forgive the sinner. And if you come to Christ, you can have your sins forgiven today. And pardon and enter into a new life with him. Amen?
Amen.
But he says here, redeem the time. You know what redeem the time means? It means buy up the opportunities. This is a good deal, you guys. And the good deal is buy up the opportunity. Seize the moment. God has given you this space and time to glorify God with your body, to glorify God with all Christ has given you. And He says here to pour into Him all, because He has poured all into you. You see, lost opportunities may never be regained. They're lost forever. Take the opportunity God has given you. Seize the moment. Go for it. And then He says, do not be intoxicated, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 says, do not look upon wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and it swirls around smoothly. At last it bites like a serpent. It stings like a snake. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things.
You know something? I really love you. You're just beautiful to me.
You know, I grew up watching people drunk. You know, we'd always have these things at our house and different places. My dad would go places. And it was amazing how normal can turn into so much weirdness in a matter of seconds. And the Bible is very clear here. You know, and I hear Christians today that have been deceived by heretical doctrine that say, well, it's okay to drink beer if you're a Christian. It's fine, man. I got liberty. Oh, you do? And that's what Jesus had in mind when He was hanging upon the cross, when His back was beaten open and those nails hammered His hands and His feet into the cross, and that crown was placed upon His brow, and His beard was ripped from His face, and they spit upon Him and mocked Him, and He hung there naked. I remember one of the seven statements from the cross is, this bud is for you. I remember that now. Oh no, wait a minute. It's Miller time. That's what He cried out from the cross. Ooh, touching on some subjects here this morning. I want us to understand something here at church. What makes an alcoholic? It starts with the first beer. And as a believer, I don't ever want to be accused of stumbling somebody and causing them to think it's okay for them to go ahead and drink. Because it doesn't represent what God has done for me. He says, don't be intoxicated. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. God has such a greater high than the high that the world has to offer. Have you ever noticed it's called spirits? But God says be filled with the Holy Spirit, singular, not spirits, not legion, you know, not many of them. It's funny when I'm giving directions to our church. Well, you make a right on legion and you come up the street and you go up to park. But what He is saying here is that you are a child of God. Recognize what God has done for you. And now seize the opportunity. Redeem the time. Seize the moment that God has given you. And use every opportunity. This is a bargain opportunity for you today. I can see Paul and his Jewishness. This is a great deal, can't you see? But it's the truth. You're a child of love. You're a child of light. And the logical thing to do, he finishes in verses 19 and 20, he says, speak one to another now in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It doesn't say sing 29 bottles of beer on the wall, 29 bottles of beer, take one down and pass it around. That's not what it says here. It says to speak to yourselves now in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks for God, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the logical thing to do. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. And I'm not in partnership with what the world has. God has opened my eyes and I'm alive for a reason today. I know my purpose. I know the plan of God. I'm walking in the provision of Almighty God. And I have pleasures evermore. And I want everybody to know it. I don't know about you, but I want everybody to know what God has done in my life. Just to know Him. Just to know His peace when all hell can be breaking loose. To know that I'm forgiven, that I'm accepted by Him. Why do I want to entangle myself in the things of this world any longer? Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. How are we today? Now next week we're going to go into from dating to death do us part. Because he's going to talk about relationships next. So it's going to be a very good beginning of a series. Bless you. Whoever's blowing their nose back there. We all heard that. I'm sorry. Good thing you're behind there, and I don't know who you are, and I don't want to know who you are. Okay, so. But next week we're starting a series on From Dating to Death Do Us Part. And it's really going to cover relationships for singles and married. Because God has called us to have relationships. And relationships can be great and they can be hell on earth. So let's look and see what God's Word has to say to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love this morning. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your loving kindness, Lord. And Lord, we would ask right now in the name of Jesus that You would just speak to our hearts now, Lord. Give us Your grace, Lord. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, perhaps you've joined us today and you haven't been born again. And Jesus said whoever commits sin or practices sin is a slave to sin. But Jesus said He came to save sinners and came to set us free. Nobody's here condemning you. Jesus said, condemn not, lest we be condemned. We're here to offer you the greatest gift you can ever receive. And that's a gift of love that Jesus Himself gave to each one of you this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you want to receive God's love and His forgiveness this morning. You want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you were to die, you would go to heaven. You lift your hand up right now and I want to pray for you. This is between you and God and nobody else, but you want to receive His love and His forgiveness. Just slip your hand up right now so I can pray for you. God bless you and you. Anybody else, God bless you in the back. He loves you today. Perhaps you haven't been walking circumspectly. You haven't been walking in righteousness. You've been disobeying God and you need to come back to Him this morning. That is your desire. You know the words of God are true. And of course, we've read in the Word that this is serious stuff. There are false teachers today that say you can be a believer and live in habitual sin. Paul said, let no one deceive you with empty, vain words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. You've been walking in disobedience and you need to come back to Him today. I want you to lift up your hand and I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you and you. Anybody else? Those of you that raised your hand, and even if you didn't raise your hand, and you want to receive Christ, I want to pray with you right now. So wherever you are, just stand to your feet while we're in this attitude of prayer. Stand up right now. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and that prayer is going to be asking Christ to come into your life. So you raised your hand, and even if you didn't, while we're in this time of prayer, stand up to your feet right now, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Just stand up wherever you are. You raise your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand. This is to have your eternal destiny changed by the power of the Spirit of God. This is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you were to die, you would go to heaven. Jesus hung before the world naked. He's asking you to stand. He said, if you confess me before people, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So you stand right now. You want to receive His love and His forgiveness. Stand up right now. Or you're coming back to Christ. God bless you. Anybody else? He loves you so much. Anybody else? Just stand up. You know, those of you that are standing, pray this prayer with me, mean it in your heart, and Christ will come in right now. And He'll do that, what you're desiring for Him to do. He'll forgive you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need Your forgiveness today. Thank You for Your Word, and thank You for Your love. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sin, and rising again from the dead. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and write my name in Your book of life. Help me to walk with You and to know You. Thank You that I'm going to heaven because of what You've done for me. In Jesus' name.
Just as You are, hear the Spirit's gone. Come just as You are. Come.
Come receive, come.